Chapter 87. Wherein Mr. Ralph Nickleby is visited by persons with whom the reader has been already made acquainted. What a damnition long time you have kept me ringing at this confounded old cracked tea kettle of a bell, every tinkle of which is enough to throw a strong man into blue convulsions. Upon my life and soul, oh demmit, apostrophe said Mr. Mantalini to Newman Noggs, scraping his boots, as he spoke, on Ralph Nickleby's scraper. I didn't hear the bell more than once, apostrophe replied Newman. Then you are most immensely, and outrageously deaf, apostrophe said Mr. Mantalini, as deaf as a damnition post. Apostrophe, Mr. Mantalini had got by this time into the passage, and was making his way to the door of Ralph's office with very little ceremony, when Newman interposed his body, and hinting that Mr. Nickleby was unwilling to be disturbed, inquired whether the client's business was of a pressing nature. It is most damnably particular, apostrophe said Mr. Mantalini. It is to melt some scraps of dirty paper into bright, shining, chinking, tinkling, damned mint sauce. Apostrophe, Newman uttered a significant grunt, and taking Mr. Mantalini's proffered card, limped with it into his master's office. As he thrust his head in at the door, he saw that Ralph had resumed the thoughtful posture into which he had fallen, after perusing his nephew's letter, and that he seemed to have been reading it again, as he once more held it open in his hand. The glance was but momentary, for Ralph, being disturbed, turned to demand the cause of the interruption. As Newman stated it, the cause himself swaggered into the room, and grasping Ralph's horny hand with uncommon affection, vowed that he had never seen him looking so well in all his life. There is quite a bloom upon your demmed countenance, apostrophe said Mr. Mantalini, seating himself unbidden, and arranging his hair and whiskers. You look quite juvenile and jolly, demmit. Apostrophe, we are alone, apostrophe returned Ralph. Tartly. What do you want with me? Apostrophe, good. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Mantalini, displaying his teeth. What did I want? Yes. Ha, ha. Very good. What did I want? Ha, ha. Oh, damn. Apostrophe, what do you want, man? Apostrophe, apostrophe, demanded Ralph, sternly. Damnition discount, apostrophe returned Mr. Mantalini, with a grin, and shaking his head waggishly. Money is scarce, apostrophe said Ralph. Damn scarce, or I shouldn't want it, apostrophe interrupted Mr. Mantalini. The times are bad, and one scarcely knows whom to trust, apostrophe continued Ralph. I don't want to do business just now, in fact I would rather not. But as you are a friend, how many bills have you there? Apostrophe, apostrophe, two, apostrophe returned Mr. Mantalini. What is the gross amount? Apostrophe, apostrophe, dem trifling 5 and 70. Apostrophe, and the dates? Apostrophe, apostrophe, 2 months, and 4. Apostrophe, I'll do them for you mind, for you. I wouldn't for many people for 5 and 20 pounds, apostrophe said Ralph, deliberately. Oh dammit! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Mantalini, whose face lengthened considerably at this handsome proposal. Why, that leaves you 50, apostrophe retorted Ralph. What would you have? Let me see the names. Apostrophe, you are so damned hard, Nickleby, apostrophe remonstrated Mr. Mantalini. Let me see the names, apostrophe replied Ralph, impatiently extending his hand for the bills. Well, they are not sure, but they are safe enough. Do you consent to the terms, and will you take the money? I don't want you to do so. I would rather you didn't. Apostrophe, dammit, Nickleby, can't you apostrophe began Mr. Mantalini. No, apostrophe replied Ralph, interrupting him. I can't. Will you take the money down, mind? No delay, no going into the city and pretending to negotiate with some other party who has no existence, and never had. Is it a bargain, or is it not? Apostrophe, Ralph pushed some papers from him as he spoke, and carelessly rattled his cash box, as though by mere accident. The sound was too much for Mr. Mantalini. He closed the bargain directly it reached his ears, and Ralph told the money out upon the table. He had scarcely done so, and Mr. Mantalini had not yet gathered it all up, when a ring was heard at the bell, and immediately afterwards Newman ushered in no less a person than Madame Mantalini, at sight of whom Mr. Mantalini evinced considerable discomposure, and swept the cash into his pocket with remarkable alacrity. "Oh, you are here," said Madame Mantalini, tossing her head. "Yes, my life and soul, I am," replied her husband, dropping on his knees, and pouncing with kitten-like playfulness upon a stray sovereign. "I am here, my soul's delight, upon Tom Tiddler's ground, picking up the damnation gold and silver." "I am ashamed of you," said Madame Mantalini, with much indignation. "Ashamed of me, my joy? It knows it is talking dem charming sweetness, but naughty fibs," returned Mr. Mantalini. "It knows it is not ashamed of its own papalorum tibby." Whatever were the circumstances which had led to such a result, it certainly appeared as though the papalorum tibby had rather miscalculated, for the nonce, the extent of his lady's affection. Madame Mantalini only looked scornful in reply, and, turning to Ralph, begged him to excuse her intrusion. "Which is entirely attributable," said Madame, "to the gross misconduct and most improper behavior of Mr. Mantalini." "Of me, my essential juice of pineapple." "Of you," returned his wife. "But I will not allow it. I will not submit to be ruined by the extravagance and profligacy of any man. I call Mr. Nickleby to witness the course I intend to pursue with you." "Pray don't call me to witness anything, ma'am," said Ralph. "Settle it between yourselves, settle it between yourselves." "No, but I must beg you as a favor," said Madame Mantalini, "to hear me give him notice of what it is my fixed intention, to do my fixed intention, sir," repeated Madame Mantalini, darting an angry look at her husband. "Will she call me, sir?" cried Mantalini. "Me who dote upon her with the demdest ardor. She, who coils her fascinations round me like a pure angelic rattlesnake. It will be all up with my feelings. She will throw me into a demmed state." "Don't talk of feelings, sir," rejoined Madame Mantalini, seating herself, and turning her back upon him. "You don't consider mine." "I do not consider yours, my soul." Exclaimed Mr. Mantalini. "No," replied his wife. And notwithstanding various blandishments on the part of Mr. Mantalini, Madame Mantalini still said no, and said it too with such determined and resolute ill temper, that Mr. Mantalini was clearly taken aback. "His extravagance, Mr. Nickleby," said Madame Mantalini, addressing herself to Ralph, who leant against his easy chair with his hands behind him, and regarded the amiable couple with a smile of the supremest and most unmitigated contempt, "his extravagance is beyond all bounds." "I should scarcely have supposed it," answered Ralph, sarcastically. "I assure you, Mr. Nickleby, however, that it is," returned Madame Mantalini. "It makes me miserable. I am under constant apprehensions, and in constant difficulty. And even this," said Madame Mantalini, wiping her eyes, "is not the worst. He took some papers of value out of my desk this morning without asking my permission." Mr. Mantalini groaned slightly, and buttoned his trousers pocket. "I am obliged," continued Madame Mantalini, "since our late misfortunes, to pay Miss Knagg a great deal of money for having her name in the business, and I really cannot afford to encourage him in all his wastefulness. As I have no doubt that he came straight here, Mr. Nickleby, to convert the papers I have spoken of into money, and as you have assisted us very often before, and are very much connected with us in this kind of matters, I wish you to know the determination at which his conduct has compelled me to arrive. Apostrophe, Mr. Mantalini groaned once more from behind his wife's bonnet, and fitting a sovereign into one of his eyes, winked with the other at Ralph. Having achieved this performance with great dexterity, he whipped the coin into his pocket, and groaned again with increased penitence. I have made up my mind, apostrophe said Madame Mantalini, as tokens of impatience manifested themselves in Ralph's countenance, to allowance him. Apostrophe, to do that, my joy? Apostrophe, apostrophe, inquired Mr. Mantalini, who did not seem to have caught the words. To put him, apostrophe said Madame Mantalini, looking at Ralph, and prudently abstaining from the slightest glance at her husband, lest his many graces should induce her to falter in her resolution, to put him upon a fixed allowance. And I say that, if he has £120 a year for his clothes and pocket money, he may consider himself a very fortunate man. Apostrophe, Mr. Mantalini waited, with much decorum, to hear the amount of the proposed stipend, but when it reached his ears, he cast his hat and cane upon the floor, and drawing out his pocket handkerchief, gave vent to his feelings, in a dismal moan. Damnition! Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Mantalini, suddenly skipping out of his chair, and as suddenly skipping into it again, to the great discomposure of his lady's nerves. But no. It is a damned horrid dream. It is not reality. No. Apostrophe, comforting himself with this assurance, Mr. Mantalini closed his eyes and waited patiently till such time as he should wake up. A very judicious arrangement, apostrophe observed Ralph with a sneer, if your husband will keep within it, ma'am, as no doubt he will. Apostrophe, damn it. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Mantalini, opening his eyes at the sound of Ralph's voice, it is a horrid reality. She is sitting there before me. There is the graceful outline of her form. It cannot be mistaken, there is nothing like it. The two countesses had no outlines at all, and the dowager's was a damned outline. Why is she so excruciatingly beautiful, that I cannot be angry with her, even now? Apostrophe, apostrophe, you have brought it upon yourself, Alfred, apostrophe returned Madame Mantalini still reproachfully, but in a softened tone. I am a damned villain. Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried Mr. Mantalini, smiting himself on the head. I will fill my pockets with change for a sovereign in halfpence, and drown myself in the Thames. But I will not be angry with her, even then, for I will put a note in the twopenny post as I go along, to tell her where the body is. She will be a lovely widow. I shall be a body. Some handsome women will cry, she will laugh damnably. Apostrophe, Alfred, you cruel, cruel creature, apostrophe said Madame Mantalini, sobbing at the dreadful picture. She calls me cruel Mimi, who for her sake will become a damned, damp, moist, unpleasant body. Apostrophe, apostrophe, exclaimed Mr. Mantalini. You know it almost breaks my heart, even to hear you talk of such a thing, apostrophe replied Madame Mantalini. Can I live to be mistrusted? Apostrophe, apostrophe, cried her husband. Have I cut my heart into a damned extraordinary number of little pieces, and given them all away, one after another, to the same little engrossing damnation captivator, and can I live to be suspected by her? Damn it, no I can't. Apostrophe, ask Mr. Nickleby, whether the sum I have mentioned, is not a proper one, apostrophe reasoned Madame Mantalini. I don't want any sum, apostrophe replied her disconsolate husband. I shall require no damned allowance. I will be a body. Apostrophe, on this repetition of Mr. Mantalini's fatal threat, Madame Mantalini wrung her hands, and implored the interference of Ralph Nickleby, and after a great quantity of tears and talking, and several attempts on the part of Mr. Mantalini to reach the door, preparatory to straightway committing violence upon himself, that gentleman was prevailed upon, with difficulty, to promise that he wouldn't be a body. This great point attained, Madame Mantalini argued the question of the allowance, and Mr. Mantalini did the same, taking occasion to show that he could live with uncommon satisfaction upon bread and water, and go clad in rags, but that he could not support existence with the additional burden of being mistrusted by the object of his most devoted and disinterested affection. This brought fresh tears into Madame Mantalini's eyes, which having just begun to open to some few of the demerits of Mr. Mantalini, were only open a very little way, and could be easily closed again. The result was, that without quite giving up the allowance question, Madame Mantalini postponed its further consideration, and Ralph saw, clearly enough, that Mr. Mantalini had gained a fresh lease of his easy life, and that, for some time longer at all events, his degradation and downfall were postponed. But it will come soon enough, apostrophe thought Ralph. All love, bah! That I should use the cant of boys and girls is fleeting enough, though that which has its sole root in the admiration of a whiskered face like that of yonder baboon, perhaps lasts the longest, as it originates in the greater blindness, and is fed by vanity. Meantime the fools bring grist to my mill, so let them live out their day, and the longer it is, the better. Apostrophe, these agreeable reflections occurred to Ralph Nickleby, as sundry small caresses and endearments, supposed to be unseen, were exchanged between the objects of his thoughts. If you have nothing more to say, my dear, to Mr. Nickleby, apostrophe said Madame Mantalini, we will take our leaves. I am sure we have detained him much too long already. Apostrophe, Mr. Mantalini answered, in the first instance, by tapping Madame Mantalini several times on the nose, and then, by remarking in words, that he had nothing more to say. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.